Ron, let's talk about E15. API doesn't like it. AAA's come out on the record against E15. But I know you know better, Ron. So let's talk a little bit about, now that you've dug into some of the API studies, what's really going on here?
Well, I mean, API, you know, is basically, again, they started this year saying we're going to try and defeat the renewable fuel standard. We want to get rid of it. It needs to be gone. One of the things that they've done is hyped a study that by CRC misrepresented the heck out of it, because basically what it is a CRC study that the request for the proposal when they did it said we want to find vehicles that are particularly sensitive to the potentially particularly sensitive to renewable or to ethanol, to higher percentages of ethanol. And they tested them with 20%, which isn't legal, and then tested them with 15, which is. And when you tear into the data of that particular study that they said, you know, we found out that they had leaky valves and there were engine leaks, not anything that stopped the engine, not anything that even stopped it from running, but at the end of the study, it showed that these were below their tolerances. Well, you dig into the study, they did the tests with vehicles that had leaky valves, had bad valve seats, had engine leaks, had all kinds of different problems, trouble lights. But they had those problems from the time they were manufactured. They have these things called technical service bulletins, where one of the vehicles they had, which was a Chevy Colorado pickup, 2005, that had over 100 technical service bulletins, and over 20 of them had to do with valves and valve seats. Now, there is no way that any scientist that's trying to do a fair, scientific study to find out the effects of E15 would claim that a test that proved that this vehicle that had those problems running on whatever it ran on, I mean, all this test proved is, yeah, it still does. And it had that problem with 0, it had that problem with 10, it had that problem with 15 because it had that problem with the engine. In fact, GM acknowledged it. They sent out a letter several years ago to the owners of those vehicles saying, we know these things have issues with their valves, and because of that, we're going to extend the warranty to, I think it was 7 years and 100,000 miles. We're not going to replace them, but if you have the problem, bring it in, we'll take care of it. So how that can be, you know, characterized as some kind of indication of what E15 is, I think is probably just testament to the fact that there aren't very many people checking the facts. I don't necessarily blame API for trotting that information out, but I think it told you in earlier time. It's kind of like if Coke and Pepsi got together and said that sugar-free Kool-Aid causes problems, people would check into their data. But in this case, the guys who compete with ethanol are saying that ethanol's bad. And, you know, in large part, people just say, oh, well, yeah, we ought to worry about that. Well, you ought to worry about the vehicle in the first place if that's what it is. But, it, you know, none of that study showed that ethanol, E15 or E20, did anything different than the cars did regardless of what fuel they were running on. So that's kind of the frustration. Now, CRC, they said, well, we did the study that we were told to do or that we said we were going to do, and they did. You know, AAA, I think their opinion is there's a lot of confusion out there, and we want it straightened out. Now, I don't necessarily agree that the way to fix that is to say, oh, you know, let's put a halt on this thing. I think you go in and look at all of the data out there, and what they'd see is that, you know, the EPA did their studies, did their tests. The Department of Energy did a lot more. And CRC, the organization that did this study, has a lot of studies on their site that talk about E15 and different components, different parts. And for the most part, those things came through with no deal breakers, which is, you know, unfortunate if you want to stop E15, but it's very fortunate if you have people who want to check into it. You know, E15 is a product that's going to be a little higher octane. It's going to be a little lower cost. It's going to be a little more domestic fuel. It's, you know, there are all kinds of advantages to it. And in this economy, probably the biggest advantage being that it's going to cost less. So, you know, we want to have people, you know, gas station owners to be a little less afraid of it, because right now they're afraid that all of these spook stories that they've been told about engines are going to come true, and then they'll have to, you know, they'll have to pay for the repairs or something. And they're staying away from it to some extent. So if there's an upside to the fact that gasoline's a lot more expensive than ethanol right now, and if we can help these guys understand the RIN market a little bit more, they'll realize that there may be some more money out there that they could apply towards the difference between E10 and E15. And then it'll be like, if you go back and look at the news stories before E10 got into the Southeast, only 4 or 5 years ago, all these stories about everything falling apart and the cars aren't made for it, and this new fuel will destroy things. But then ethanol got really cheap, and we had VTEC on top of that. So you had station owners looking at a fuel that's being used in the rest of the country that was 12 to 15 cents less than the fuel they could buy. They brought it down there. Their competitors looked and noticed what they had. And within literally a few months, that whole region was selling E10. And, if the gap between gasoline and ethanol continues to be where it is, then I think we can see that kind of movement with E15 too. But somebody's got to do it first. We're trying to do what we can to make sure that they have the information they need to offer it, and that they feel safe selling it, and that we provide the information for the customers so that they feel good buying it. And when that happens, I think we'll see a movement to E15. And when it comes right down to it, I think the oil industry thinks that too. I think that's why they're fighting so hard, because I believe that they know that if people have the chance to buy it, and they buy it and find out that all these scary stories weren't true, they'll keep buying it, and then we'll gain some more market share out of the thing. So, I understand why they're fighting it. I don't understand why so many are going along with it. I think that's the part that's most frustrating for us. But this last couple of days have been pretty good. We've had a chance to state our case and hopefully given some information and some contact numbers to people who will check with us in the future. And, we're gonna keep fighting the battle until we win it.
Great. Thanks, Ron.
You bet. Thanks, Joanna.